D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Today on Truths That Transform, we look inside the battle for the soul of America.
In fact, there are those who positively detest the idea of any connection between God and country.
America was settled and founded largely by Christians and built on biblical principles. And the radical left has worked tirelessly to undo it.
There, for a generation, I believe, has been a battle raging for the soul of America.
How do we get back on track? Find out on today's Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. Before we begin today, we are living in perilous times, and I want to make an appeal to you. There is simply no other Christian media ministry shining the light of biblical truth on the range of cultural issues that D. James Kennedy Ministries addresses. But we cannot do this without your help. If you contact us right away to become a valued faith partner, giving an automatic monthly gift of $35 or more, we will thank you by sending you a beautiful leather-bound copy of the D. James Kennedy Topical Study Bible, this ministry's capstone resource. It is the single most wide-ranging collection of Dr. Kennedy's wealth of wisdom available in any one volume. So please, become one of our faith partners with an automatic monthly donation of $35 or more. Simply call us toll-free at 877-962-7677 or go online to djkm.org/faithpartners. There is a fundamental conflict of visions at work in America today between those who value the Judeo-Christian principles America was founded upon and those who think America must be torn down and built on a new socialist, secularist foundation. On today's program, we will investigate how the left has gone about destroying our nation's underpinnings. And you'll discover how we can reclaim America for Christ. A huge portion of the radical left's revolution against America has taken place through the courts. Our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb has more.
The Word of God shaped the history of our nation. Well, the reason they want to deny it and destroy it is because all of their secular philosophy, all their liberal philosophy, It crumbles when truth is shown of where our nation came from. And it's the only logical way a nation like America could not only be founded, but also could continue by those basic principles. That's why we see even still the Ten Commandments on the courthouse walls, various places. And Washington. Washington is proliferated with the Word of God.
To read the original charters and documents of American history, we see that this nation has a strong Judeo-Christian foundation. But what has changed it? Critics note that key court decisions through the years have done much to alter the American landscape.
That's right, the second decision is in.
We have breaking news from the Supreme Court.
The Supreme Court will be back in session. This next term will see its share of landmark cases that will see critical decisions on gun rights, religious liberty, and immigration.
Is there a battle for the soul of America? And if so, where do the courts fit in that?
There, for a generation, I believe, has been a battle raging for the soul of America. And while you and I tend to focus sometimes on the ballot box. We will focus on legislatures. Many on the left have always rushed directly to the Supreme Court or to the courts because in judicial fiat, it seems that they can get decisions made that overturn a lot of work that's done by good organizations by trying to advance good policy. We certainly at Human Coalition Action advance good public policy and good laws supporting pro-life positions. But we can't underestimate how important the courts really are.
In the courts recently, there have been many decisions of interest to Christians. Some have been victories and others defeat for the biblical worldview that gave birth to America. Whether they won or lost, many Christian legal groups have been in the trenches, doing the hard work, fighting for God and country. There was a defeat for the sanctity of life this term when the Supreme Court struck down a Louisiana law that tried to protect women injured while having abortions.
It's common sense that women should be able to receive time-sensitive, emergent medical care in the cases of an abortion emergency. It basically boils down to what they call admitting privileges, and it was requiring that abortion doctors have these admitting privileges. Should there be a botched abortion, they would be required to assist with making sure that these women would get the help that they needed at a nearby medical facility or hospital. And so in this case, the court again decided ruling, you know, granting mediocre care to those that really need the best care possible when this type of situation arises.
Does this type of situation arise more often than we're led to believe?
That's a great question. This type of situation arises more often than most of us would think.
For nearly 200 years, a group of Catholic nuns, the Little Sisters of the Poor, have been providing comfort and help for elderly poor people as they face death. But after Obamacare passed, the federal government was trying to force the nuns to pay for contraceptives, including abortifacients, that is, abortion-inducing drugs. This violated the nuns' conscience rights, so they fought it in court.
I never thought that I would live to see the day in America when the federal government would fine people for their religious convictions. But that's exactly what the Obamacare contraception mandates are all about.
But the government forces us to either violate our conscience or take millions of dollars that we raise by begging for care of the elderly poor and instead pay fines to the IRS.
In fact, the Little Sisters stated elsewhere that if they had lost, they would have been forced to shut down. Thankfully, the court ruled in favor of the nuns.
We were happy that the Supreme Court sided strongly on the side of Little Sisters of the Poor, basically saying, you know, no organization, Christian, religious, any, you know, group should be forced to violate their strongly held religious convictions or conscience, violating their conscience because of, you know, of an order like this that would come through, in this case, Obamacare.
If you lose religious freedom, you'll lose all your freedoms. We're really seeing that in the midst of this pandemic.
When you look at the debate that's going with COVID, is we're saying, what are essential services? Well, in the minds of a lot of governors, churches are not essential.
In the case of Calvary Chapel Dayton Valley v. Sisolak, the Supreme Court set religious liberty back by ruling against a Nevada church that wanted to open up safely during the pandemic.
I mean, all people have to do is look at them saying, the experts even saying, well, you can't sing at church, but oh yeah, we're the protest, we're okay with that because that's important, and which belies an understanding that they have that the church is not important, that religious freedom is not important.
In his brilliant dissent in the Calvary Chapel case, Justice Gorsuch stated, in Nevada, it seems it is better to be in entertainment than religion. Maybe that is nothing new, but the First Amendment prohibits such obvious discrimination against the exercise of religion. The world we inhabit today, with a pandemic upon us, poses unusual challenges. But there is no world in which the Constitution permits Nevada to favor Caesar's Palace over Calvary Chapel. Thankfully, it should be noted that during the coronavirus crisis, there have been some victories for religious liberty in courts at the lower level.
I think the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals said it really well. They overturned what the governor of Kentucky was doing, and that was the mayor of Louisville and all those other things that were going. And they said, we're not going to let the Bill of Rights sleep during this pandemic. And that's exactly right, because we are a nation of laws, not of men.
Another example of church and state court cases during the coronavirus crisis involves Pastor John MacArthur of Grace Community Church in the greater Los Angeles area. Multiple times he and his church have gone to court just so they could go to church without government harassment.
We must obey God rather than men. This is a triumphant hour for the church to be the church.
Sadly, other California churches don't seem to be faring as well. John MacArthur said it should shock the conscience of every Christian that churches are coming under assault from our own government simply for holding church. Church is essential. The worst decision from the Supreme Court this term redefined civil rights to include sexual identity and preference.
The Supreme Court's decision in the Bostock versus Clayton County, Georgia, was extremely disappointing, and especially disappointing because both Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Neil Gorsuch agreed with the majority, and Justice Gorsuch wrote the majority opinion.
In the recent Bostock decision, where the word sex, going back to the 1964 Civil Rights Act, in which it was very clearly understood. In fact, the court itself acknowledged that it was a reference to biological male and female. But yet, they redefined the term sex to include gender identity and sexual orientation.
What this amounts to is really an effort by the LGBT movement to obtain through the courts what they could not obtain through the democratic process. They did the same thing with the redefinition of marriage. And now they've achieved this in terms of rewriting our civil rights acts, rewriting the federal civil rights law, the basic federal civil rights law, and to claim with an apparently straight face that Congress actually protected homosexual and transgender people back in 1964.
I think it was kind of the Roe v. Wade of religious freedom, because this is opening up Pandora's box in terms of attacks on religious institutions and people who operate according to a Christian worldview, a biblical worldview that God created, as Jesus affirmed in Matthew, that God created a male and female. And now, to believe that, and to act upon that, you will find yourself facing the wrath of your government because of a court decision.
The Bostock decision certainly shows the importance of judicial nominations and the importance of elections in general. The importance of the elections, both for Congress and for president, cannot be overstated.
When the Supreme Court decided, going against America's history, that there was suddenly to be a wall of separation between church and state, they began the process of secularization that has led to anarchy in our streets, the erosion of our institutions, and the crumbling of the American family. Only by understanding our true history can we turn from our current course of destruction and get back on the right path. Dr. D. James Kennedy shares more in this portion of his message, God and Country.
Our subject is God and Country. Now, I know that in our land today, there are those who are uncomfortable. In fact, there are those who positively detest the idea of any connection between God and country. There are those who would like to efface the words "In God We Trust" as our national motto. There are those who would like to remove them from our coins. There are those who would like to remove every vestige of God and Christianity from our public life. And yet, all of those indeed are aliens to the spirit which gave birth to this country. Our nation was born in the hearts of men and women who loved God, who trusted in Jesus Christ as the divine Redeemer and Savior of the world, and who came here for His glory and established a nation that was intended to advance the Christian faith and glorify God. That is what is sometimes called the American Covenant. Now, authors Foster and Swanson have produced a very excellent book entitled The American Covenant. And it deals with an aspect of the founding of this country which is often overlooked or perhaps totally unknown by many. And that is that the founders of this nation were biblical Christians, and they understood that God's relationship to man was in the form of a covenant. And so when they came into this country, they established a covenant with God. And they asked His blessings upon them, and they promised that they would do certain things. Now, the initial form of that covenant is what we know as the Mayflower Compact. You will recall that those 100 or so pilgrims had left England for Holland in order to escape religious persecution after 12 years in Holland, where they found toleration but not complete freedom. They finally decided at last to sail for the New World, that they might freely worship God according to the dictates of their conscience. And they landed at Cape Cod, but before setting foot upon the rocky coasts of New England, they gathered together in the cabin of the Mayflower and drew up the Mayflower Compact, that document which has come to be known as the birth certificate of America, but which is in fact the American Covenant, the covenant between the founders of this country and God. You remember well the words, "In the beginning, in the name of God, amen," it begins. It goes on to say, "Having undertaken for the glory of God and advancement of the Christian faith a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia." I want you to note well that they begin it in the name of God, and they say that they have undertaken to plant a colony in Virginia for two purposes: the purpose of the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. So this was their purpose in founding this land. It was a Christian land that they founded. Now today, there are those who gnash their teeth at the very mention of the fact that this was founded as a Christian nation. But my friends, the facts of history are not easily dismissed. Now, for those moderns who would say that America has nothing to do with Christianity and that our Constitution and Declaration are not Christian, they obviously know nothing about the principles of Christianity which completely underlay all of the various facets of the foundations of this country. We have a task set before us today for the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you can be that missionary right here to America, right here on these shores, to take the gospel to those all about you who know not the Lord. My friends, if we do not do that, and if secularism and godless unbelief take over this country, then the calamities that are going to fall upon this country can already be written down. the loss of our freedoms, to be ground under the heel of tyranny and despotism, to experience the various plagues that come upon the godless. This inevitably is what awaits America. May we pause and remember. Remember from whence we have come. Remember how far we have fallen. And recommit ourselves to the great task which still lies before us. To recommit ourselves to the American covenant, to bring glory to God in every sphere of the life of this country, and to advance the Christian religion in the hearts of men and women everywhere about us. May God grant us that recommitment on this day.
One of the great insights of the Protestant reformers was the biblical idea that every part of life is to be lived to the glory of God. In our personal life, politics, government, work, whatever we do, we are to do it all to the glory of God. Unfortunately, some recent Christian teachers and pastors have retreated back behind a divide between the sacred and the secular, teaching that we should only value spiritual pursuits and leave the rest, apparently, to the pagan world. As a result, many Christians have failed to apply the lordship of Christ to every area of life and have enabled godless ideologies to tear apart our nation. If we do not act to stop it now, there may never be another chance. We have a vital new book I want to share with you as a handbook for these perilous times. It's called The Battle for the Soul of America and How Christians Can Win It by Dr. Richard G. Lee. And we would like to send it to you as our thanks for your generous donation to help us proclaim truth and defend freedom at this urgent hour. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org. Dr. Lee is a very good friend of mine, and he was also a friend of Dr. Kennedy's. Along with Dr. Kennedy, he has helped many American Christians regain a true understanding of our Christian founding. And as a longtime pastor, he is able to point the way for God's people on these issues. You will want to read The Battle for the Soul of America as we prepare for a watershed national election in November. And this is a book you will want to share with others as well. And if you're able to give a generous donation of $50 or more, we will send you this critically important book plus the 7-DVD series, How Should We Then Vote?, featuring key messages from Dr. D. James Kennedy, in which he takes you one by one through the key moral issues on which Bible-based believers should cast their votes this November. Together, these comprise an invaluable collection of resources for making a difference during this decisive year in American history. We want to live our lives, every part of our lives, to the glory of God, and to be faithful stewards of the inheritance our forefathers gave to us. These resources will help you do just that. We will send you the new book, The Battle for the Soul of America by Dr. Richard Lee, as our thanks for your generous donation. And we will also include the 7-DVD set from Dr. Kennedy, How Should We Then Vote?, as our thanks for your donation of $50 or more. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org. Again and again in the New Testament, we are exhorted to hold fast to true teaching and to reject false teaching. problem, of course, is that false teaching does not usually come wrapped with a heresy warning label on it. Instead, it takes some truth, twists it just a little, and adds ideas that are pleasing worldly ears. Paul warns his pastoral protege Timothy about this, writing, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions." In our own day, with so much media noise around us, it is vitally important for the people of God to be discerning about truth and falsehood, about what pleases God and what displeases Him. Just recently, several prominent pastors of one of America's largest Christian denominations marched in sympathy with the neo-Marxist Black Lives Matter movement, an organization that officially calls for the destruction of the American family structure. They joined the call to end so-called systemic racism, apparently blissfully unaware that this term is a central doctrine of Marxist critical theory. And remarkably, these naive pastors did so while their own churches were still closed to worshipers, supposedly out of concern for the coronavirus. Elsewhere, a conference was held in which speakers fully affirmed LGBTQ identity while living as a Christian. One breakout session asked this question: what queer treasure, honor, and glory will be brought into the New Jerusalem at the end of time? And this took place in a church under the auspices of America's largest conservative Presbyterian denomination. My friends, this is the time to pay close attention and to heed Paul's warning against those who are false apostles, deceitful workmen disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, Paul says, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. Thanks for being with us. And here's a look at the next Truths That Transform.
That the fundamental question of ethics is this: who makes the rules?
I think George Soros, I think the people like him, they want to remake the world in their own image. I really think that they believe themselves to be some kind of superior being who should be ruling everybody.
George Soros would deny that he's a Marxist, and yet he backs Marxist groups all over the world, like Black Lives Matter here in the United States. What he would say was he's a forward-looking moral relativist.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.